live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday. It is July 20th, 2017. The summer is really flying by, isn't it? Really can't believe it. I mean, we are just about, what, like 5 weeks away from the start of high school football. Players report to training camp in high school football in just about 2 weeks. Training camp for the NFL is underway. I mean, my goodness. You know, when football starts knocking on the door, it's a bit bittersweet because we all love football. I love football. I'm getting that itch. I can't wait to see the pigskin fly around on the gridiron. However, it does mark the end of summer. So soak it up while you can. Enjoy the weather. It has been pretty hot here in mid-Michigan, but I'm not complaining because we all know how the winter months can be here. So enjoy it. Go out and do something summery. I don't even think that's a word. Well, summery is a word, but not in that context. I just used it as. Go out and barbecue, hit the pool, do something outdoors because we all know in Michigan it doesn't last that long, all right? We've got a great show, a great hour in store for all of you out there. Folks, O.J. Simpson, one of the biggest names not only in the sporting world, but in the world, period, for numerous reasons. O.J. Simpson's parole hearing is taking place right now at 1 p.m. If he's granted parole, O.J. Simpson could be released from prison in October. How about that? The Nevada Board of Parole going to decide today whether OJ gets his release, stemming from, of course, his role in taking sports memorabilia from two men in Las Vegas back in 2007. We will update you on that story as it unfolds, as the minutes roll by here. And we'll also have a bigger conversation concerning the OJ case, the phenomenon that has been the OJ case in recent years due to two riveting pieces of work. You don't want to miss that, Chad. Also, we will talk about the Michigan State football team. On yesterday's show, we mentioned how the Bovada Sportsbook Casino out in Las Vegas has set the bar for MSU football at an over-under of 6.5 wins. Will MSU win six games, more than six games, or less than six games? What do you think? I want to hear your thoughts on that because we'll go game by game and debate about that very topic. Also, the Detroit Lions trying to change the culture. They have undergone some renovations at Ford Field. One of those renovations include trying to put the past in the past and provide new motivation to go out there and win. The Lions taking down playoff banners at Ford Field. And also, soccer at Copa yesterday. Comerica Park has 35,000 football fans showed up to show their support of the sport of soccer. And I know Isaac Constance, our current sports engineer and soccer nut, certainly has a take on that and whether or not this does anything for the growth of the game of soccer here in Michigan and the United States of America. So, as you see, a loaded plate. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports. Leave a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air and even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with breaking news concerning the Lansing Everett boys basketball team. Lansing School District Superintendent Yvonne Kamal Kanul announced this morning that Christopher K.C. Keaton will be the new head coach of the varsity boys basketball team at Lansing Everett. Keaton will be filling the shoes of former coach Desmond Ferguson, who stepped away from the program to focus on his family and his Moneyball brand. Keaton is employed at Michigan State University, where he has worked as a program and student organization advisor since 2013. Keaton completed his undergrad degree at Michigan State and went on to receive graduate degrees from both Western Michigan University and Eastern Michigan University. Keaton has coached basketball for 16 years, including coaching the varsity girls team at Lansing Everett for 4 years. He has also worked as a long-term substitute teacher and a special education teacher in the Lansing School District. We're working on getting KC a part of the show sometime next week. Don't miss it. All right, Paris Saint-Germain top AS Roma 2-1 in penalty kicks to the noise of 36,289 fans in Comerica Park on Wednesday night. The International Champions Cup match was a first for the Detroit Tigers ballpark. The ICC match could help Detroit's case for a team as Major League Soccer gauges the market's potential for soccer. Last year, Real Madrid and Chelsea took the field in Ann Arbor in front of throngs of people packed into the Big House. The league said it would keep an eye on the public interest in the Detroit match between the European soccer giants. Capacity for Wednesday's game was 37,000, essentially giving it a sellout. Ford Field, home of the Detroit Lions, has some major renovations. Ford Field has massive video boards that take up 26,500 square feet of LED display space as part of a $100 million renovation. The new massive video screens over each end zone are 39.5 feet tall and 152 feet wide. Some of the highlights include full updates to the 125 suites, more football-themed designs like yard markers on floors, pictures of players, and Lions-colored decorations and designs. And there will be a grab-and-go food concession, a fully updated corner bar that features a 90-foot bar with several video boards and a video wall that contains game information. A sound system upgrade is also coming, although it was not ready for demonstration. But despite all of the dazzling new updates and upgrades Detroit Lions fans can expect to see, there's one major change that is significantly big because fans won't see it. The playoff appearance banners. That's right, banners that celebrate division titles and world championships remain, but the banners that listed only the Lions' appearances in the NFL playoffs are gone. The Ford Field renovations will be done on August 1st. All right, the Detroit Tigers blew a chance to climb to within 4 games of Cleveland in the AL Central Division lead. Mikey Matuk, he hit a home run, a 2-run home run in the top of the ninth inning to give the Tigers a lead, but closer Justin Wilson gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth as the Tigers had their 4-game win streak snapped with a 4-3 loss to the Kansas City Royals last night at Kauffman Stadium. Verlander, JV, Justin Verlander remains winless in his past 4 starts. He retired 14 of the first 16 batters he faced. JV allowed 2 runs on 6 hits over 7 innings of work. He walked 1 and struck out 8. J.D. Martinez hurt his left hand while striking out last night, forcing him out of his debut with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The right fielder was hit on the side of his left hand while swinging at a two-strike pitch from Cincinnati's Tim Adelman in the fourth inning. Martinez's hand was shaking as it was examined since the ball hit only his hand during the swing. The at-bat ended in a K. Martinez left for a defensive replacement in the bottom of the inning. Not a stellar outing in his debut for the Arizona Diamondbacks, ending in injury. All right, Joe Flacco's young brother, Tom Flacco, will be transferring from Western Michigan University. After playing in 13 games over his first two seasons, quarterback Tom Flacco requested to leave the program. The Broncos granted him that request. The release came without restrictions, and the Voorhees, New Jersey native will be able to transfer to the school of his choice. Flacco completed 10 of 13 passes during his 2 years as a Bronco, tallying 188 yards and a TD, but he attempted just one pass in 2016 during Zach Terrell's senior season, the other record-setting quarterback. Since Flacco did not take a redshirt at WMU, he will have 2 years of eligibility remaining if he decides to transfer to a D1 school, where he will be forced to sit out a year as dictated by NCAA transfer rules. Scary moment here, as Shane McMahon, the son of World Wrestling Entertainment CEO Vince McMahon, was involved in a helicopter water landing yesterday afternoon off the coast of Gilbo Beach on Long Island, New York. Shane McMahon and the pilot were traveling in a Robinson R-44 helicopter, which was forced to make an emergency ocean landing. But get this, no one was injured. How about that? It is unknown what caused the issue with the helicopter, forcing it to make that landing. And it has been a long year full of controversy, as we all know, for USA Gymnastics, which has involved sexual abuse of young athletes. USA Gymnastics has now added two people to its senior staff who will oversee athletic protection, or I should say athlete protection. Toby Stark will serve as USA Gymnastics Director of Safe Sport and will lead a department focused on protecting athletes, said in a USA Gymnastics press release. She is former executive director of Chauncey's Place, which is an Indianapolis area child advocacy program focused on child sexual abuse and youth suicide prevention. Sounds like the right person for the job, right? Stark will oversee, coordinate, and communicate all aspects of USA Gymnastics Safe Sport policies, guidelines, educational programs, reporting and education services, as well as report Safe Sport matters to the board of directors. Mark Busby, who handled the child abuse and sex crime cases while with Marion County Prosecutor's Office, will provide supporting in-house legal counsel. He will handle all information provided to USA Gymnastics about potential abuse, direct any required investigations, and coordinate cases with the U.S. Center for Safe Sport as needed. And the 146th British Open, that's right, the Open Championship out in England, got underway early this morning in the wee hours of this morning around 1 a.m. And get this, we have a huge name that sits atop of the leaderboard right now, that being Jordan Spieth, who shot a 5-under round one score of 65 today. Brooks Koepka was able to post the same score, posting also a 65 today. So both of those individuals sit at 5-under. And Matt Kuchar looks as though he's approaching the 18th hole now. He has that score, a 5-under 65 as we speak. Well, I should say a 5-under score as we speak. We'll see what he does on the 18th hole, and we could possibly see a four-way tie maybe for first place, as Paul Casey is also on the 18th hole. If he birdies there, he'll also be at 5-under, posting a 65. So just the mere fact, though, it's good to see a familiar name at the top of the leaderboard, that being Jordan Spieth. Should be a fun British Open as it continues throughout the weekend, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
I told him, OJ, you're breaking the laws of God. One day, everybody's going to know everything that you've done, man.
you're a black man in America, you're fighting our war.
Ooh, cinnamon, where you gonna run to?
The reality of black America and white America. Two totally separate worlds.
For us, OJ was colorless. None of the people that we associated with looked at him as a black man.
A civil rights leader in Los Angeles has said if you are going to be a Negro in a big city, then Los Angeles is the best place to be.
O.J. Simpson as a civil rights victim. It was disgusting. It was appalling.
It's easy to be friends when somebody's winning.
So I ran to the devil.
You know, you got a tragedy in your life that really write an interesting autobiography.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Thursday. I'm your host, Al Martin. And right now, the media world is abuzz. O.J. Simpson. I'm actually staring at him right now via my laptop. O.J. Simpson. The Nevada board is going to make a decision on a possible O.J. early release. Deciding today whether OJ gets released from prison after serving more than 8 years for his role in taking sports memorabilia from two men in a Las Vegas hotel in 2007. Right now, OJ is making his case. You can clearly see, I'm watching a stream online here. There are multiple media outlets across America currently streaming the parole. And our very own Karina Garcia is going to try to bring us a bite from O.J. Simpson in court right now. He's sitting there. He's 70 years old. Hard to believe that. O.J. Simpson, 70 years old. Sitting there, you can see that, you know, he's got the receding hairline. He's got the short cut salt and pepper hair. Rocking a T-shirt underneath what looks to be like a jean jacket, short sleeve shirt as he makes his case in court. O.J. Simpson, one of the most compelling figures in American history. What you just heard, intermixed with Jay-Z's instrumental from his new album, The Story of O.J. Thought that was fitting, right? That was the trailer, though, from one of the, in my opinion, I think it is the most compelling documentary I've ever watched. O.J. Made in America. It was like a 6-part series that ESPN actually won an Academy Award for. It's so well done. It's one of those docuseries that you just sit back and watch, and you can watch it over and over and over because the story of O.J. Simpson is just insane. From his rise as an athlete to the Hertz commercials, him running around with the suit on in the Hertz commercials. He was everywhere, and he was an American darling, really. I mean, gosh, so coveted in American culture at one point. And, you know, that documentary kind of profiles the rise and fall of O.J. Simpson. And, you know, one of the parts of the documentary that really get me, and this is one of the parts that Jay-Z actually stresses in the documentary, is when OJ is at the bar, some party, some get together, and someone brings up OJ's race, and he says, you know, I'm not black, I'm OJ. And, you know, that's one of my favorite parts of the documentary, because that's when you start to really see how O.J. Simpson was getting lost in the sauce as his fame began to grow and grow and grow. And that eventually led to, you know, the situation in which he was found not guilty. He was found not guilty on October 3rd of 1995. For the deaths of ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and restaurant waiter Ron Goldman. So that of course, isn't the reason why he's in prison right now, trying to make a case as to why he needs to be on early parole. Right now, what OJ is trying to plead his case about is, again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, his role in taking sports memorabilia from two men in a Las Vegas hotel room back in 2007. He was found guilty, actually, in 2008 of 12 criminal counts, including assault, burglary, coercion, kidnapping, and robbery, all with use of a deadly weapon. He was sentenced to serve between 9 and 33 years at the Lovelock. That's an interesting name for a correctional center, right? The Lovelock Correctional Center, a medium security prison about 90 miles northeast of Reno. Now, if granted parole, Simpson could be released as soon as the beginning of October, October 1st. If denied, another hearing would be set within 1 and 3 years. His current release date is set for September of 2022. Now, more information before we dive into what exactly is happening throughout the hearing right now, and before we just kind of put in perspective the story that is O.J. Simpson. More information about the parole hearing right now. A robbery victim actually is there attending the hearing. About 15 people are expected to be at the hearing, including Bruce Fromong, one of the memorabilia dealers who was robbed. Fromong claims he suffered 4 heart attacks and financial loss since the crime, but he says that he will be trying to be good for OJ. I don't know what that means. I guess he has since forgiven OJ Simpson and wants to see him released on early parole. I don't know. I don't know what that means. That's an interesting quote, though. Trying to be good for OJ is what he said. The other dealer, Alfred Beersley, he passed away 2 years ago. Simpson's sister, Shirley Baker, and his daughter, Arnell Simpson, are there right now attending the parole hearing. Andy Caldwell, a retired Las Vegas police detective on the Simpson case, who is now a Christian minister in Oregon, said he is, quote, just curious to see how everything unfolds, end quote. Compelling on many levels. Many, many levels. And you know, the OJ story, you can't compare it to any story, really. And looking at how Simpson has, I guess you can say, his behavior behind bars, he has had a relatively clean prison record. When sentenced, Simpson told officials he would be, quote, the best prisoner they'd ever have, end quote, according to Sports Illustrated. His lawyer, Malcolm Lavergne, his friend Tom Scotto, and prison guards now claim he has kept his word and has a clean disciplinary record. Quote, he's been a positive force in there, said Scotto. He's done a lot of good for a lot of people. Also, it was reported that Simpson received special treatment in prison and guards teased him. In a report from CNN, former guards Jesse Mandoki and Jeffrey Felix said they had mocked Simpson about the murder trial back in 95. Felix recalls dropping a glove on the ground in front of Simpson and joking about it not fitting him, referring to the, of course, theatrical moment in trial when Simpson struggled to put on the blood-stained gloves found at the crime scene. So the guards have teased him a bit, but according to multiple reports, Simpson has done his best to try and stay low-key. And how about F. Lee Bailey? F. Lee Bailey, you know, he was one of the lawyers that was a part of what was dubbed as the Dream Team. You guys remember that, right? I mean, Johnny Cochran, F. Lee Bailey. We saw also, is it Robert Kardashian, a part of that as well. And that was all, of course, very well documented, not only in the docuseries, OJ Made in America, done by ESPN, but also in what has become one of my favorite shows of all time, The People versus OJ. Cuba Gooding Jr. played OJ, and you have other stars playing other characters throughout the OJ Simpson story. Amazing. Absolutely amazing story. And, you know, I was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old when that was taking place. Isaac, were you even born when the OJ?
I wasn't out the womb.
You weren't even out the womb, dude, when that moment happened. But, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old. I do, though, when I got older, I remember running around my grandparents' house and upstairs, because my grandfather, you guys remember back in the day, DVR wasn't even a thing. You know, DVR is a new thing now. You can record and you can watch stuff later. But the thing back in the day is if you had a VCR, you could record programs on a VCR tape. And I remember running upstairs and my grandfather, he used to record everything. He used to record every Friday and Saturday night fights on Showtime and HBO and, you know, anything that appealed to his interests. A lot of sporting events, so football games, basketball games. He's got a lot of Michael Jordan classics that I now currently own back at my apartment. But also included in that collection was the O.J. Simpson trial. Tapes on top of tapes on top of tapes, hours on top of hours on top of hours of the O.J. Simpson trial. And it's funny, you know, I went to the barbershop this morning. I'm chatting with my barber about, you know, the O.J. Simpson parole. And, you know, it's amazing to me because that was one of those moments, the car chase, the Ford Bronco. That was one of those moments where everybody can recall where they were. If you're old enough, if you were old enough at that time to do so, you can recall where you were when you saw that footage of OJ and that Ford Bronco along with AC. You remember that chase during the NBA Finals. I believe it was like the Knicks. Who were the Knicks playing? I forget who the Knicks were playing, but the Knicks were in the NBA Finals. Was it? I have to look that up, what exact game it was. But everybody remembers that because my barber was telling me, you know, it was like, you know, he's like, yeah, I remember watching that. I was actually in the barbershop. And he's from New York, so he's like, yeah, you know, my Knicks, they cut my Knicks off. And I'm watching this, and everybody's going crazy. We can't believe it. Everybody remembers where they were. And when it comes to the O.J. Simpson trial back in 95, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a bigger trial that captured the emotion of Americans the way that trial did. It became a black and white thing. Both the docuseries and the television series highlighted that. Didn't understand how important it was until these recent years when we saw these two pieces of work come together and recount that moment, those moments, I should say, back in 95. So you look at this trial now, again, the OJ parole hearing, whether or not OJ Simpson will be released early for his role in taking sports memorabilia from two men in a Las Vegas hotel room back in 07. You know, the reason, you look at this sentence, though, you know, which is crazy. You know, he was sentenced to serve between 9 and 33 years here. He's done 8. The reason he received such a harsh sentence, in my opinion, from the sports memorabilia case, let's be real here, because many felt like he got off on October 3rd of 1995 for the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and restaurant waiter, Ron Goldman. You play with too much fire, you are eventually going to get burned. You play with it too many times, you're going to get burned. And OJ, and if the big question, did he do it? Everybody has a thought on that, right? I think he did. Looking at how the docuseries went, looking at the television series, I mean, gosh, I don't know how he got off. That's one heck of a legal team. Shout out to Johnny Cochran. One heck of a legal team. But you look at that, you know, and you look at getting off of that kind of a case. Murder. Your ex-wife, for goodness sake. I mean, I felt like OJ, you know, he looked at that situation and had to think to himself subconsciously, or maybe consciously, who knows, and said, you know what, if I got off that, I'm the king of the world. I can get off with anything. And he consistently put himself in bad situations, believing that he could get off of it. And that's what, again, you play with it too many times, you're going to get burned. And that's exactly what happened here. So, I'm also curious, if paroled at 70 years old, will O.J. Simpson live a normal life? Will he be quiet? You know, because I can clearly see O.J. when he gets out doing, like, you know, a sit down with Diane Sawyer or Oprah Winfrey somewhere, talking about what his life has been like in these past years and what happened in 95, and giving his thoughts on the People versus O.J. in the doc series O.J. Made in America. Will O.J. live a normal and quiet life? That'd be interesting. And also, you know, and this is another thought that crossed my mind. You know, does O.J. get anything from having a success series like The People versus O.J. and a docuseries like O.J. Made in America that won an Academy Award? Does he get any moolah from that? Did some research this morning, and he does not, actually, because federal legislation blocks criminals from profiting by selling the movie rights to their deeds. And documentaries don't pay anyone for story rights. So he gets nothing. Isaac, what do you make of this? Real quick, because again, you weren't even born when it happened. I don't know if you have any memories of that trial growing up, and maybe your pops telling you about it, or your mother telling you about it, or grandparents. But I remember it was a big topic in our household growing up, you know, and when I hit like elementary school, even middle school, it's a topic that would come up all the time. You know, OJ, did he do it? If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. All of those lines from Johnny Cochran back in the day. I mean, it was a big topic of my childhood, and it's still brought up in the Martin household.
It's crazy because I was watching the documentary and The People vs. OJ, and something struck me, and it's kind of sad, but I do feel like right now in America, let's say another famous football player who was black went out, and I think he killed the people. I think OJ probably is guilty of two murders. Like you, though, I also think that the guy, listen, he knows how to deal with people. He knows how to interact with higher-ups especially. I mean, it sounds like he's been nothing but a pleasant presence in prison, really. You know, I mean, it seems like he has earned the parole on this case alone. But I do think if another prominent black athlete who is beloved by both communities were to commit a similar heinous crime in today's world, not as stealing the trophies as murder, because this is really still what we're talking about, of course. We don't care about the memorabilia. I think we'd be in the exact same situation, which I just found was so compelling watching that documentary. But I think there's still almost that same level of divide, racism that's still alive, because watching that documentary, you just thought, boy, you got the sense of frustration, but it definitely also clouded the vision of jury members in my mind.
Sure.
It was plain and clear to me that despite the glove not fitting, so they acquitting and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, it still was clear that the evidence was on the table as far as I was concerned. But it's so interesting how salient this case and even the memorabilia case remains however many years later, 25? Is that how long it's been now? 25 years, 24 years?
I mean, a little over that, actually. That was 95. And, you know, you look at it, and, you know, you look at that case back in 95. I mean, the dream team, as it was dubbed, that encompassed Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran, Robert Kardashian, Barry Schenck, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, Carl Douglas and Peter Newfield. I mean, they played the race card. It was Cochran's idea to play the race card. And
a smart idea.
It was a very smart idea, because if he didn't play the race card, O.J. Simpson would, I believe, be behind bars for life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things that when you stir up those emotions, and this is a jury trial, and if you have African-Americans and Caucasians a part of that jury, and it becomes a race thing, it's going to be impossible for those two sides to come to a general consensus because of that. That was a case that stirred up so many emotions on so many levels. All right, let's hit our first break. I see a mic from Saginaw. We'll take your calls and get your comments on the OJ parole hearing that is currently underway right now. I'm seeing a ton of stuff via Twitter. I'll read a few of those tweets that are providing updates throughout the hour. We also may have a bite for you from the parole hearing. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have been talking about the O.J. Simpson parole hearing, in which the Nevada Board of Parole is going to decide today, right now, whether or not O.J. Simpson gets released from prison due to his role in taking sports memorabilia from two men in a Las Vegas hotel room back 10 years ago. In 2007, and I'm seeing the quote that everybody's talking about on Twitter right now. O.J. Simpson is currently talking in the courtroom, and O.J. said that he's had a conflict-free life. Oh, boy. You can feel the irony in that quote, don't you? Everybody. I mean, if you just type in, I'm on Twitter right now, just type in O.J. Simpson. Everybody's, you know, hashtagging conflict-free right now. Yeah. What do you think about the O.J. Simpson trial from 95? Where were you? Curious to know for those old enough to remember where they were and putting in perspective that moment. Where were you at? I would love to hear from you on that. And also with the parole hearing for the Las Vegas case underway right now, I should say. What are your thoughts on when O.J. Simpson possibly getting an early release? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself? I was listening to the show yesterday. I'm just going to get this out of the way, then I'm going to talk about OJ. I was listening about Trevor Manuel and what he's going to do is play Division III basketball. I said, what?
Yeah.
You know, after he got recruited by Oregon and then he transferred away, he's playing Division I basketball. I can't comprehend that either, but that's another topic for another time.
No, that's very true, Mike. I agree. I was a bit taken aback as well. I mean, you see a kid who was a four-star recruit coming out of Lansing Everett High School, and now two transfers later, we have him playing Division III ball at Olivet College. I guess everybody's journey is a bit different, but that is certainly a shocking one. But what did you want to comment about OJ?
I want to comment on four industries that made that OJ Simpson started.
Okay.
And I want to go through one through four. I'm going to start at four. The first thing is number four is the television. Cable television was not as prominent as it is now, of course. But back then, you only had CNN reporting on the trial, and Court TV was just starting.
Right.
Three, reality TV. That means the Kardashian family and all these, the fame that Kim Kardashian got because her father was Robert Kardashian at one of the OJ trials.
Very true.
Is domestic violence. The topic we talk about, but we don't seem like we can't get a grip on it or nothing like that. We can't seem like domestic, when you raise up domestic violence, it seems like from the players, from the National Football League and from the colleges, they don't get the women that in those cases, they don't feel like they don't be heard or they not believed about their instances about violence towards women, period. And the number one is DNA evidence. Remember, they used the DNA evidence, but you know what? DNA evidence now is being used to set people from being incarcerated, wrongly accused, wrongly incarcerated, set a lot of people free, and also put people back in the prison. So those are the four industries that came from the OJ trial. Now, personally, I think OJ should be set free, but I just want to know his kids. Where is his kids coming from his daddy and all this notoriety and everything? I know they shielded the kids. They shielded his first wife's kids and his second wife, Nicole, and his kids from the media glare and the media spotlight. The deal about O.J. Simpson was, today I see present-day athletes, they're more aware of what's going on in the world because, you know, the culture is dictating that to them now. I mean, you look at even LeBron, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods, you know, that was back then when, you know, the media, like we got all kinds of media now.
Right,
back
right,
then
right.
When they was prominent and doing dominant things in their professions, that it wasn't around back then. But now you look at athletes like LeBron James.
Yeah.
You even look at you even look at Draymond Green. He knows how to use Twitter and he knows how to YouTube, and it's the athletes today are just much more different, man. You know, they looking to brand themselves.
Very true. Wait, Mike, we're short on time, but great points, Mike. Great point. At the very beginning of his argument with the four industries affected by the O.J. Simpson trial, I think he nailed them. I think, Isaac, when you look at things and how – I didn't even think about that. From a reality TV perspective, I mean, the Kardashians, what they've become – because reality TV, where it is now, it was started by Kim and her family. Okay, and that whole phenomenon, everybody piggybacked off of it because they saw what the ratings were, and it's become a normal part of television. And you know, one of my guilty pleasures that I watch on every Monday and every Wednesday night, I watch Love and Hip Hop, Black Ink Crew. I mean, I can't get enough of that drama. But that was started by, you know, the Kardashian family, and they wouldn't have gotten that notoriety if it wasn't for their father being Robert Kardashian, who, of course, was a part of the Dream Team on the O.J. Simpson trial. And then, you know, that's fascinating. I never thought about that. Well, I think that was a great point.
It was. And as far as cable TV as well,
yeah,
the one showing the car chase, the infamous white Bronco speeding down the freeway, that was, of course, NBC, because they were the ones showing the finals games back then, too. But the one that stuck with the trial through and through, provide pretty much 24/7 news on it, like Mike said, CNN. So the difference that made in terms of the development and really the explosion of cable TV is huge. And then finally, DNA testing. It's easy to say, looking back, oh my gosh, they had DNA. How could you not see that? I mean, that's so obvious. DNA was a new science back then. So, I mean, to many people, it was still very foreign. It's what is this thing in the first place? Mm-hmm. And is it trustworthy? So DNA was far from incriminating. In fact, it was a little bit suspicious.
Right. We got a few comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Alex McChriston says this parole hearing is painful to watch. And also one of our dear friends, along with Alex, Austin McMurray, says, "I'm not black, I'm OJ." Okay. LOL. That's a direct quote from Jay-Z's newest song, The Life of OJ, where, again, as I profiled in that documentary, there was a part in there where, you know, his race was brought up, and OJ's at the bar and says, "I'm not black, I'm OJ." And Jay-Z kind of made fun of that moment in his song. So, yeah, interesting on many levels. And I think this, you know, OJ Simpson is a name that has really everybody emotionally has been so involved. It doesn't matter what race, what background you're from. Everybody has a thought about the O.J. Simpson case. It's really amazing to me. I believe we do have a bite from the parole hearing that's ready right now. Let's play a bit of that courtesy of our very own Karina Garcia.
"I would never, ever direct anybody to point a gun at him or even threaten him. I've never done this in my life. I want to point out, you mentioned all those gun charges, Bruce and Alfred. They made it clear during the trial that I had no weapon. they didn't feel threatened by me, and I, from what you said, and that I didn't threaten them. It was the other two security guys that did that. And I'm not, I haven't made any excuses in the 9 years that I've been here, and I'm not trying to make an excuse now. They were there because of me, you know. But in no way, shape, or form did I wish them any harm. As I was leaving the room, and this was on the tape too, Bruce said, OJ, hey, man, there's a box that's with that stuff. They're Montana prints. Those don't belong to you. Those are mine, man. He told me that because he recognized everything else that I took out of that room was mine, you know? And he also recognized that I wasn't there to steal his stuff, and he knew I would return whatever was his, and which I attempted to do. I told him, we'll leave it at the desk. I'll send you stuff at the desk. We didn't know at the time that this security guy, Walter Alexander, had stole his BlackBerry, you know, phone, but the minute I saw that, I made him send it back, and he gave some cockamamie story in the trial that why he didn't take it back. In any event, I'm no danger to pull a gun on anybody. You know, I never have in my life. I've never been accused of it in my life. Nobody's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them. And Bruce knows that I would never do that. I never have. I want to also, as a postscript, add that, you know, when I got to Lovelock, the state of California took up the issue of whose property it was. They did an investigation, and they came to the conclusion that it was my property. They turned it over to me. I have it now, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling that they turned over to me property that I'm in jail for trying to retrieve. You know, it was my property. I wasn't there to steal from anybody.
So there you hear O.J. Simpson trying to plead his case as to what happened on that date in 2007, in which, again, he was he has been serving more than 8 years for his role in taking sports memorabilia in that hotel room in Las Vegas. O.J., a lot of laughs, laughing stuff off, you know, and same on O.J. I mean, he sounds the same. You're trying to use that charm and charisma. I just don't know.
He could still rent cars. He could go to Hertz right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude. All right, let's hit our last break. When we come back, we'll talk about MSU football. Over or under 6 wins for next year. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's funny, Karina, you probably just heard a bit of that because my mic was open. Karina walks in the studio and she says, wow, it just smells like a bunch of cologne in here. I think I just bathed myself in whatever I'm wearing. I don't even know what I'm wearing today. But yeah, I guess the whole studio smells like some Sean John or something like that. Who knows? Welcome back. I want to have this debate because this is an interesting one concerning MSU football. You know, yesterday we hinted towards it. But I want to dive into it in the last 10 minutes of the show because a lot of MSU fans are having this conversation now, and that is concerning Michigan State football. You know, they're a season removed. Mark D'Antonio and his team, a season removed, you know, from winning a Big Ten title and playing in the college football playoff. The Spartans last year struggled to a 3-9 season in 2016. So about a month ago, South Point Sportsbook set its Michigan State over-under win total at 5. And on Tuesday, Bovada released its over-unders, and the Spartans' number was just a bit higher than that. They actually set the line at 6.5 wins. Yeah, with the over at plus 160 and under at minus 200. So, you know, if you look at, you know, and expand that picture to championships, Bovada is currently giving Michigan the third best odds to win the Big Ten, tied with Penn State, behind Ohio State and Wisconsin. Michigan State on that list sits at 9th. In terms of a national championship, Michigan is 7th among all FBS schools. The Spartans are tied for 30th in the nation with a host of other programs. Alabama, not surprisingly, does sit atop of that list for now, while defending champion Clemson is slotted at 12th. So I want to pose this question to both Isaac and Karina Garcia, who's live here in studio. Over, under, or at 6 wins for this upcoming year, and back up your reason why.
I'm going to say at 6 wins, Alan. It's just got to be because this is a team that's going to improve following the offseason. Finally, it does seem like the team's bonding together. And you can't really overstate that. It's a hard thing to try to verbalize. But this team last year on the field, they just want that connection. They did not have that bond as a team. The talent, it might not have been there for a playoff appearance or a bowl, or it was there for a bowl appearance, but or a Big Ten championship or anything like that. But at the same time, it was good enough to still go 6-6, 7-5, something like that. I don't think the team's gotten worse heading into this year. In fact, I think a little bit of certainty at the quarterback position, I believe, with Brian Lewerke clearly being that guy, will help this team out. As well as, you've got a little bit of continuity when it comes to the running back position. Of course, LJ Scott coming back, and Gerald Holmes will be a threat as always. So I think this team coming up this next year, they're going to be better. But at the same time, they lost talent, plain and simple. Right. They've lost talent from years past. I'm saying 6-6.
You're saying 6-6, so right at 500. Karina, at better than 6 or lower than 6 wins for Michigan State football, why?
I'm saying less. I'm going to say maybe 5-7.
5-7, okay.
I just feel like they're a younger team. You know, I think they are lacking experience. You know, it takes a while. They're coming back from a rough year. And also, they don't have any defensive players right now. So I guess it'll come down to training camp. But, I mean, they lost Josh King, Vyante Copeland, Kenny Like. Like, they've lost a bunch of names in the secondary. So I just don't see it working right now.
In a secondary that wasn't great last year.
Right. So I think it's going to take a lot of work.
If you can say that again. I, you know what? I think they win 7 games this year.
Okay.
I think they win 7 games. Because looking at the schedule, I'm going to back up my point here. Looking at the schedule, I think it's, I don't want to say fairly easy, but I think you can pull out 6 wins. Just looking at the schedule right now, Bowling Green, they're not going to lose to Bowling Green. That's one
win
to start
the year. Okay, let's go back to last year, though, because they barely won their first game against Furman.
Exactly, but still, it's Bowling Green. I mean, Bowling Green is a team that they won like 4 games last year. Bowling Green, that's usually, it's come on, we got to give them that at least. So as we move along the schedule from there, week 2, they play Western Michigan. This isn't the same Western Michigan team that had P.J. Fleck last year and the team that went to the Cotton Bowl last year. I think they beat Western Michigan. Notre Dame, Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. They beat Notre Dame last year, for goodness sake, with the team that went 3-9. That's 3 wins there. Rutgers. Rutgers is the bottom barrel team in the Big Ten. They've been the bottom feeder since they joined the Big Ten. One of the worst teams I've ever seen on a football field in college football. That's 4 right there. Maryland, Indiana, Iowa. Iowa's a game I think can go 50-50.
Agreed.
But Maryland, Indiana, Northwestern, I think they can get 3 wins out of those 4 coming up as well. I'm not huge on Maryland. I think Iowa is going to be better. If you look at Iowa, half of Iowa's projected starters, offense and defense combined, are seniors. There's a lot of seniors there. So even if they drop that, though, and if they drop against, you know, October 7th, they play Michigan, right? And also, I'm curious to throw this question out there as well for Spartan fans out there. What would you like to have more? A bowl game or a stopping of U of M without a bowl game? I think that's compelling to think about. But you know what? The hate is real here in East Lansing when it comes to U of M, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a bowl game, I mean, playing in like, some of these bowl games are so lollipop. The Alamo Bowl, the Goodyear Tire Bowl. Who cares
There's
about
There's a bowl
that?
In Shreveport, Louisiana.
Right.
Come on.
Like, nobody cares about, you know, these bowl games. So, in my opinion, if I'm a Spartan fan looking at the schedule and I'm saying, okay, Michigan, they're highly touted this year. They're a national championship. They're in that conversation of possibly winning a national championship. I think Spartan fans would like to have more, maybe a win over or a trouncing of Michigan than a meaningless bowl win.
And I'd say, too, if they don't think that, if they instead go with a meaningless bowl win at 6-6 to put the record to 7-6 or even a loss in a bowl game,
that's not
a real rivalry. I mean, I'm serious. That's not a real rivalry if you'd rather beat Northern Illinois than Michigan.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Exactly. So for me, Kareem, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, Bowling Green, Western, Notre Dame, Rutgers. Then you look at Maryland, Indiana, Iowa, Northwestern. I think you can pull six, at least six, from that slate.
I mean, we'll see.
We definitely will see.
They have, you know, a really young offense, new quarterback. So I just hope that they're putting in the time and they're dedicated this year. And I hope they have more leaders because last year that's what lacked.
For sure.
Leadership.
That definitely lacked.
I mean, maybe younger players, you know, have a better mindset on them. So maybe it will be a better year. But I think it's going to take a little more than just this year.
You know what the X factor is for me?
Hmm.
The big name everybody's going to be talking about for this MSQ football year is going to be L.J. Scott.
Yep.
Simple as that. L.J. Scott, when you have a quarterback in Brian Lewerke, never being that guy to start the year, coming into that role, he's going to have some sort of when he starts games, he's going to have to ease into these games. You do that by having a good run game. L.J. Scott. Right now, he's ranked in Lindy Sports. Just want to throw this out there. In Lindy Sports, L.J. Scott is ranked the number 11 running back in the country. Third in the Big Ten behind Saquon Barkley, and Justin Jackson. Brian Allen ranked as the number 6 offensive guard in the country. Scott rated in Lindy Sports, which is a pretty highly acclaimed college football medium. Scott rated the toughest to bring down in the Big Ten. From Street and Smith Sports, Mark D'Antonio, this is another thing, another conversation for another day, but Mark D'Antonio is rated the Big Ten coach with the hottest seat. Street and Smith went on to say, quote, nobody in the Big Ten is in immediate danger of being fired, but the Spartans have had trouble on and off the field in the last year. That's what the magazine notes. So, but L.J. Scott, I think, can be that guy to kind of help Brian make that, you know, move to being the guy behind center.
And that's a good one. I'd say Chris Fry is mine, just like Karina mentioned.
Yep.
Chris Fry, leading, captaining a defense that's still very young, needs to mature. And we know how it goes with the linebackers is how it goes with the rest of the team.
For sure. All right, we are out of time. I'm out for Friday. Isaac will be in hosting. Thanks to Karina Garcia and everybody out there listening. Same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care and be easy, people.